Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the punch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
This is not John Rook. This is Chris Price from WEEI and WEEI.com. I'm filling in for JR this afternoon on Patriots Playbook. Give us a call, 855-PATS-500. That's 855-PATS-500. You could also reach us at webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. I'll also be able to go through some of these tweets. I'm on Twitter at CPriceNFL. That's CPriceNFL. Hit me on Twitter if you got a chance. Big news today, at least as far as we can glean to this point in the afternoon, was the fact that quarterback Tom Brady, was one of two players not at practice this afternoon, actually this morning. He was not out there. Now we get, and I can explain this to you, and I'm sure the guys from, you know, the Patriot Football Weekly have already explained this, but I'll break it down for you in terms of what we get at practice. We get about 10 minutes where we get to sit and watch them stretch and go through drills, and we kind of get a general sense of who's there and who's not there, and we take attendance. And that's, you've seen this obviously on Twitter and you've seen this on the news, who's here, who's not here. That's how we get a sense of who's there and who's not there. Now, it's important to note that a lot of times guys will show up late to practice. This has happened before. By all accounts, however, this did not happen today. Tom Brady and Danny Eakin were the only two who were not at practice today. Now, this means a couple of things in my mind. Not going to get conspiratorial here, but first of all, Brady has been dealing with a cold. We talked about it with the PFW guys in the show before that. He's been dealing with a cold. He came to the podium last week with a cough drop, and he was clearly, you know, had some red eyes and was sniffling a little bit. And, you know, it's cold and flu season, so it makes perfect sense that, you know, your quarterback is going to get sick at some point along the way. So it's entirely likely he is dealing with an illness. We'll know more at 4 o'clock when the injury report is released. Usually it'll say either, my guess right here is it's going to say Tom Brady illness or Tom Brady not injury related, which means the other alternative to all this is the fact that perhaps Brady is somewhere in the stadium here, in the facility here, working with long snapper Danny Eakin. You know, working on being a holder next week or this Sunday against the Broncos, because as we know, Ryan Allen was knocked silly in fairly early on in the game, the divisional playoff game against the Colts. So he was knocked out, and Steven Gostkowski ended up doing the punting, and Brady ended up doing the holding, and there was no problem with the holding. However, you want to make sure it's as absolutely as sound as possible. Now, guys in the locker room just talked to Ryan Mallett, and Ryan Mallett said he took reps with the first team took reps with the first offense this afternoon at practice. So this whole thing is still kind of playing out. I think big picture here, I wouldn't be too worried about the situation. Everyone's a little bit banged up at this time of year. Brady, you know, again, it's my belief that Brady has a cold, and we've seen him kind of climb out of bed before and take a shot of chicken noodle soup and get back on the field. I don't think it's that simple. I'm kind of broad brushing it here, but I think that's what the situation is here in this case. So I wouldn't worry too much about it. Again, Brady, Danny Eakin, the only two guys not at practice. We talked to a bunch of guys in the locker room today. I was down in the locker room before I came down to the facility here. And it was a good experience. It's always fun talking to Aqib Talib. You know, you've heard me on WEI's NFL Sunday mention this a couple of times. I want to be John the Baptist to Aqib Talib. I want to go forth and spread his gospel because he was tremendous today in the locker room. He's tremendous on a number of occasions, but he was really tremendous in the locker room today. He was really fun. He was kind of talking about Marquise Cole and the fact that he went to Denver. He says, cash that check. Cash that check, Queese. Come on, baby. He also said that, look, Marquise Cole is not going to tell Peyton Manning anything that Peyton Manning already doesn't know about us. So it was good going back and forth with him, getting a real perspective on how things are shaping up, particularly when it comes to working in the secondary and going up against a guy like Peyton Manning. The other thing that I talked about with Talib, and I had a chance to talk to some of the younger defensive backs about it, was Talib has kind of grown into a mentorship role this year, and I thought it was really interesting to hear him talk. He kind of said, oh, you know, you're reminding me of how old I'm getting. But it was also interesting to hear Alfonso Dennard and Jerron Harmon talk, and I'm writing that for WEEI.com a little bit later on today. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about a bunch of stuff. Everything is on the table, obviously. We want to talk about the Patriots. We want to talk about the Broncos. We want to get your predictions. We got a couple of great guests coming up today. One of my buddies, Russell Baxter, is going to be joining us. Russell is tremendous. He always has some great numbers, some great stats that we can really kind of dig into and get a sense of where this thing is, you know, where these two teams stand. I know that at least from a numbers perspective, you know, you're looking at the Patriots and wondering if they're going to run the ball, but then you look at the Denver run defense, those numbers are pretty good. So I wonder if they're going to be able to meet in the middle somewhere. My personal opinion, they're going to throw the ball a little bit more on Sunday than they have over the last month or so. I think it's only natural. I think when you consider the fact it's going to be nicer weather, the fact that some of those run defense numbers have to be contextualized a little bit because a lot of teams are passing to try and get back in the game against the Broncos, and just the rushing attempts are just not where they need to be. And I also think it's going to be nicer weather, and I think that factors into it as well. So we want to kick things off today with my guy, Russell Baxter from Bleacher Report, Yahoo Sports. He is, in my mind, one of the best in the game when it comes to this, when it comes to these numbers. We got him?
We got him.
We got him. We got him. Success. Russell, you're going to have to excuse me here. This is the first time we're running the board, trying to figure out what's what here. I'm glad you're with us. First of all, welcome to Patriots Playbook.
Oh, I thought I was calling a pizza joint.
Hey-oh!
Okay, see, now we're all set. Okay.
Now we're all set.
Perfect.
You see, you know what, too, Russell?
Oh,
you know what?
How are you?
I'm good. You had me panic there for a second. You did. You legitimately had me panic there for a second that we somehow got lines crossed or something like that. So
No, you're doing fine.
Perfect. I really appreciate that.
I apologize, and the segment will be over.
Well, tell you what. Let's start off with kind of a broad overview of the. I want to start off with the NFC Championship game first. The 49ers and the Seahawks. What jumps off the page for you when you're looking at this matchup? What's the first number that your eye is drawn to when you're breaking down the Seahawks and the 49ers?
Well, it's been very interesting, and I know a lot of it gets attributed to Colin Kaepernick and the struggles he's had against the Seattle Seahawks the last three meetings. And I know San Francisco won the last meeting, 1917. But he has not fared well against Pete Carroll's defense. Not a lot of people fare well against Pete Carroll's defense, but you know, when you're in the same division with somebody, you know, you hope you want to at least split every year, and that's what they have done. But I took kind of a broader view because, you know, just looking at scores and the way games are played and so on, it's very interesting to note that the 49ers have won four of the six meetings between these teams since it's been a Jim Harbaugh, Pete Carroll series, which would go back to 2011. When Harbaugh got there. In fact, Harbaugh's first game as the San Francisco 49ers head coach was a 33-17 win over Pete Carroll's Seahawks. So then I took a look at just the style of the way these two teams play. They're very, very similar. I think San Francisco, Seattle, and Carolina are kind of all the same team as far as style goes. Carolina is a little more inexperienced than the other two. And the 49ers now being in the playoffs 3 years in a row shows you how they have grown and gotten better and better. I mean, remember, they won the division last year, and also shows about the division, too. Mm-hmm. San Francisco was 11-4-1 last year and won the division. This year they were 12-4 and couldn't win the division, which says a lot for the whole NFC West. But here was the number that jumped out after I delayed you here for 5 minutes. The six meetings between these two teams under Harbaugh and Carroll, San Francisco's offense has scored only five touchdowns in the six meetings.
Wow. Now, how much of that is, and I know from a statistical perspective, Seattle is a really tough team right out of the gate at home. And I wonder how much of that is traceable back to any sort of home field advantage that they get playing up there in Seattle. I know it gets loud, it gets crazy, and the games kind of tend to get away from teams when they get up there. Is there any correlation between those two, or is this just kind of this is more kind of across the board, more of a pattern that's been built up kind of in a bigger perspective?
I think this isn't across the board, Harold. I'm sorry, with Harbaugh and Carroll, because these games include the games in San Francisco as well. Mm-hmm. When they beat them there this year, remember, San Francisco beat them 19-17, you said a few minutes ago, one touchdown, four field goals.
That's true. Okay.
Last year, when San Francisco won the game in San Francisco, 13-6, one touchdown, two field goals. That was Alex Smith. This was Colin Kaepernick. It hasn't mattered the quarterbacks. And even the game in which they won 33-17, one offensive touchdown, and people might remember that game, Ted Ginn Jr. had a kickoff and a punt return for the touchdown late in the game. So these six games between Harbaugh and Carroll, the 49ers offense has scored no more than one touchdown in any of the six games. And in the case of the game on Sunday night this year, they got beat 29-3.
Taking a look at some of these numbers, give me one guy who, at least from a matchup perspective that we might not be talking about now, who could have a big game on Sunday for either Seattle or San Francisco.
Oh, somebody we're not talking about. You know, with these two teams, there's so many players to talk about because there's a lot of really, really good players.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, a lot of people think, you know, Anquan Boldin, and I don't know if we're talking about him or not. That's the tricky part of the
question. That's fair because he's not a guy. Anquan Boldin's a star, but I mean, when you're talking about this rivalry, I don't think he's necessarily the first name that comes to mind. So that's fair.
Yeah, Anquan Boldin to me is the intangible. Anquan Boldin, you know, has become like Mr. Playoffs, as far as upping his game. And I think his experience, I think him and Joe Flacco were the catalyst of last year's Baltimore Ravens Super Bowl run because they started to play pitch and catch, in the second half of that first playoff game. And when you see Anquan Boldin, you know, it's like a power forward. He's going to find a way to catch the football. Now, this is a trickier matchup for him than most because of the size of Seattle's secondary. I mean, my goodness, I always tease people and say that the Seahawks don't play a 4-3-4, they play a 4-7 because the size of their defensive back, Cam Chancellor and Earl Thomas and Richard Sherman. I mean, there's a reason they had, you know, that Seattle had 28 interceptions this year and they led the league with 39 takeaways. I mean, those guys are tough. But
the Legion Boldin of Boom.
Boldin to me is the catalyst because he can make the tough catch. He can make the catch when you are covered. And I don't have to tell you this. When Aqib Talib got hurt last year in the AFC title game, that was all she wrote because it became Flacco and Boldin. They really took advantage of the fact that Talib wasn't in there. And that kind of spark, that was a big spark plug last year when Baltimore beat New England in Foxborough.
I love that. I love the 49ers. I will stand here, and as Mike Mayock says, I will beat the table, and I will say that I picked the Patriots and the Seahawks in the Super Bowl this year, but I just love the way the 49ers are playing right now. They run the ball consistently. They're not turning the ball over a whole lot. They're able to get good, consistent performances out of their defense. And they just have a look of a team that is going to be one of those teams. You know, you figure those 5 and 6 seeds, there's always one team that probably goes a little bit too far, you know, kind of performs outside the comfort zone a little bit. Not necessarily, they don't play like a fifth seed going into the postseason. San Francisco, for me, has that look of a team that is kind of outperforming its seeding going into the playoffs.
Well, yeah. And trust me, they're a 12-4-5 seed. So you don't see those all the time as well. And you go back and look, just think about how tough it was to beat the 49ers this year. Think about the four teams they lost to. At Seattle, home to the Colts, home to the Panthers, and at New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, every one of those teams won at least 11 games. They had two-game losing streaks, so they've been pretty consistent. And, you know, again, you know, the last 3 years, our Super Bowl champions had at least no more than 10 wins. This year's Super Bowl champion is going to have at least 12.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, this is not your typical 5 seed at 12-4. It's not only a 5 seed and a 12-4 team. It's the defending NFC champion.
They're one of those teams that is just they've hit on that formula. And I know, and I don't want to get too far off topic here, but the idea of momentum going into the postseason, I think it's a bit of a misnomer because I think it's more about health. And I think the 49ers are not only playing well at the right time, I also think they're very healthy, and they're really playing their best football at this time of year. That's not to short sell the Seahawks. I think what the Seahawks do is tremendous. I really like, you know, what they do on both sides of the ball. I don't think that they necessarily have the passing game that is going to be able to put them over the top, because I think a lot of those options, at least in the passing game, are limited when you're talking about Russell Wilson. But the 49ers for me have that look of a championship team right now.
Yeah, I agree. And you are spot on with the misnomer about the momentum going into the playoffs. I've thrown this stat out, and obviously the 49ers can burst its bubble this year. But the last seven teams to win the Super Bowl, their longest winning streak going into the playoffs was two in a row.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you look, and it's funny, getting a chance to talk to John Harbaugh last year and saying that some of that late season drama, I guess, around the team, you know, the losses and kind of bouncing around, that kind of calloused them up a little bit. And I think that was interesting, kind of, you know, because they use that as a springboard really in a lot of ways going forward. But let's move on. I don't want to get too bogged down in that. Let me get your take now on the AFC. I'll get your NFC championship prediction a little bit later on, but I want to get your take on the AFC championship game. Again, kind of broad brush it for me just to start. What are your initial impressions? What are some numbers that jump off the page for you when you're talking about the Patriots and the Broncos?
Well, the first person that jumps out is LeGarrette Blount, and it's not just because of last week, but the week before against Buffalo, or 2 weeks before against Buffalo. You know, suddenly, he's turned into like a one-man wrecking crew, and it's not just the big plays in terms of running the football. It's also the four kickoff returns as well. It's like, give him the ball and let him do his thing. And I think it's funny, too. It shows you the Patriots' image, for lack of a better word, that people are so surprised that they're running the football with such success, and yet last year they were seventh in the league in rushing, and this year they were ninth. So I think at times we just keep on thinking it's all Tom Brady, and it's not. It's a system. It's a game plan. It's the unpredictability of the game plan. It's taking what the defense gives you. Anybody who watches the Colts play defense, you want to run the ball against them. You know, I think it kind of got skewed in the fact that Indianapolis and came back and won the game last 2 weeks ago against Kansas City. Mm-hmm. 45-44. Kansas City was down to its second and then third string running back. And remember, Jamaal Charles came out of the game very, very early. Mm-hmm. They still ran for 150 yards against the Indianapolis Colts. So if you're the Patriots, you have to look at that. Meanwhile, the Denver Broncos were playing a team that they were looking at that played ball control against them. Mm-hmm. And the best way to play ball control or beat ball control is, if you can't beat them, join them. And that's what Denver did last week. And now you get back to when these teams played earlier in the season, when Denver ran up 280 yards rushing on 48 carries in an overtime game, and yet still couldn't close the door. And boy, is this going to be an intriguing chess match just from what we saw the last week from both teams. I know we want to go hog wild talking about Manning versus Brady and Brady versus Manning. I think there's going to be a lot of key components in here. I'm not saying those guys are going to be, you know, best supporting actor, but I think there's a lot more going on here than that, because the one thing that neither one of these teams has is an overpowering defense.
Russell, what's the best way to put this? I want to make sure that people understand, you look at Denver's run defense and you look at the numbers and you look at the fact that they were seventh in the league against the run. I think a lot of those rushing yards and those rushing attempts have to be put into context, because if you're a team that gets down to the Broncos, say 21-0, you know, at halftime, as we saw on several occasions, at least earlier in the year, you're not going to be running the ball. You're going to be passing the ball. And so I think some of those numbers are, I don't want to say they're a little bit inflated or a little bit out of context, but I think that I wonder if they're as good a run defense as we say they are. You know, at the end of the day, those numbers suggest to me, and look, you know, they're seventh in the league. I understand that, but I just wonder if they can be beaten if you try and run the ball at them. I'm not saying that the Patriots are going to, you know, sling the ball all over the lot or try and run the ball. I think there's going to be a lot more balance in this game than we've seen over the last, say, month or so. But I just wonder, looking at Denver's defensive numbers, if they need to be taken with a grain of salt because of their overpowering offense?
I don't know so much as the word is grain of salt, but I think you're certainly spot on. We saw that in the playoffs last year. Denver's defense was top three, and they think they were top three run defense as well. And Baltimore ran for 155 yards on them right up the gut. Ray Rice had his, like, one of his best games in the playoffs in that game last year. And I think it's similar this year. They're tied for seventh in the league. They're, actually, it's funny. They're tied with Seattle in terms of total defense. And but I'm sorry, against run defense. But you kind of alluded to it. I find this interesting. Seattle and Denver gave up the same amount of rushing yards. Seattle's defense is number one overall. Denver's is 19th. Hmm. What does that tell you?
Yeah, it's true. It's a good point. That's a fair point. One more thing, too. I want to ask about the Denver pass defense. How dramatically did it change from a numbers perspective when Von Miller went down, and now they're going to have to deal, obviously, going into this one, without Chris Harris as well? I have to imagine that maybe altered the game plan of several teams obviously it's going to alter the game plan going forward because there's no Chris Harris for this one, but Von Miller went down. How did that affect? Was it a domino effect for that pass defense, I imagine?
Well, I will say this with the Chris Harris injury, and I'll use technical terms in this case. While Chris Harris was healthy, they were not very good. And now that Chris Harris is not available, they're really not very good.
This is why they're signing Marquise Cole off the street, I imagine.
Yeah, it's defense has been an issue for them throughout the year. And part of their defensive issue is also the way they play offense, okay? There is a reason these high-scoring, prolific offensive teams don't win Super Bowls. It's because they wind up sacrificing something on the other end, and it's usually the defense. I have thrown out this stat 400 times going into the year, and I can't include into Denver yet because we don't know what's going to happen with them. But seven teams in NFL history have scored 540 points in a season entering this year. None of those teams won the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to remind Patriots fans. 589 points, 14 in the Super Bowl. The Vikings, 556 points, once you didn't even get to the Super Bowl. You can go on and on and on and on. You wind up sacrificing something on the back end. But I will say this. To me, I think Denver realizes that, okay? How can they not? Peyton Manning was one of those teams, I think, one year in 2004 when they scored a whole bevy of points and didn't win the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why they played the style of football that they played last week, because they know theoretically they can't really stop anybody, especially through the air. Think about that game last week and San Diego looking like they never had the ball and yet got within a touchdown. So I think there's an element there that tells you that Denver's defense isn't that good, and certainly not as good without components like Von Miller, who missed most of the year, if you want to be honest with you. I mean, Sean Phillips has really had a terrific year for them rushing the passer. But now the Chris Harris injury and Champ Bailey being in and out, I mean, he was kind of spot player last week. But you saw what Keenan Allen did to them,
yeah,
the rookie last week. I mean, he ate them alive in late in the third quarter and in the fourth quarter. My question with Harris being out, though, is does New England have somebody specific that will take advantage of that because of the way they throw the football?
Well, that's going to be the question. That's going to be one of the big questions going into this game. I think from a depth position, if you're the Patriots, at that skill position spot, whether it's wide receiver, whether it's tight end, whether it's running back, someone like Shane Vereen, someone like Danny Amendola, I think you're going to need to see someone kind of step into that offensive void and really kind of seize command. You're going to need to get one of those guys to come up with an exceptional offensive performance in this one.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Denver can play it any which way, and I just find it interesting, and I'm sure people will poo-poo the fact that it's Houston and Oakland and then San Diego that they played in the last three games. But Denver has held all three of those teams to 17 points or less. Now, again, you can poo-poo that. But in their first 14 games of the year, incredibly, they only held one team to 17 points or less. And that was the game they beat the Chiefs when the Chiefs were undefeated. I mean, other teams who were not as good were still able to score points on them. For a while there, Denver was giving up a minimum of 20 in every game. And people were like, well, it's garbage time, it's this and that. No, No, watch the game. It wasn't always garbage time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I think the Broncos did what they did early in the year because they knew they couldn't stop anybody. They were going to have to outscore somebody. But now that we're getting later into the year with the playoff football, they're realizing they still can't stop anybody. So they have to find a different way, and that is to keep the other team offense off the field.
Russell, we're talking with Russell Baxter from Bleacher Report. You can follow him on Twitter. He's a great follow on Twitter, Bax Football Guru. That's Bax Football Guru. Want to get one more question out of the way before we take your predictions. I'm fascinated by the evolution of this Patriots offense this year. The fact that they went from really a team that was searching for an offensive identity over the course of, say, the first four games to one when Gronkowski came back in mid-October, and they really started to kind of air it out, and they started to kind of throw the ball an awful lot more than they had over the first four games. Obviously, Gronkowski, Amendola to some extent, Edelman really kind of asserted himself in the passing game. And then over the last, say, four games in the regular season, the postseason game, they kind of went more conservative, but they went more to the ground game. Have you ever seen a team go through so many offensive changes over the course of one season? I know a lot of it can kind of be counted on, you can put it on the fact that, you know, the quarterback is adaptable and the same system has been in place for a dozen or so years. But can you remember a team that has gone through, a successful team, mind you, one that's gone deep into the postseason, a team go through so many offensive changes over the course of one season?
You know, I would have to think a little on that, and it's a great point, but I think there's also another explanation for it as well. The one thing about the Patriots that you always have to admire is they're very hard to prepare for because, you know, they take one game almost like an entity and say, you know, if it takes throwing the ball 25 times in a row, we're going to do it. And next week, they could run it 25 times in a row. That's always been kind of Bill Belichick's mantra since he's been there. And I used to always tell, or used to talk about the fact and always fascinated that when they won the three Super Bowls in 4 years, they were all different, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They barely had an offense, for lack of a better word, in 2001. Remember, their offense scored three touchdowns in three playoff games and won the Super Bowl.
That's still, for me, when you consider that
defense
team.
And special teams,
yeah,
scored three touchdowns.
Yep.
In the playoffs. You imagine that? They went from a team that scored that many touchdowns in playoff games, and then they would do that in a quarter when it was Randy Moss and Dante Stallworth and Wes Welker and all that. So they, you know, during this dynasty of theirs since 2001, they have changed a lot on offense. They might have the similar system, but not necessarily a similar game plan. I think it's easier for them to adapt because their coaching staff and their coach is very adaptable. And he always, do your job, situational football. These are the things you think about with Bill Belichick. And that's what you have to think about with this team. You have to admire what they have done. And I've kind of said it all year, and I'm not alone. The style of football that they have played this season, you know, and when Gronkowski was in there, I think he scored a touchdown all four games he was in there.
I think so,
they've taken advantage of what they had. But the bottom line is that they weren't the high-flying Patriots of 500 points this year. Their defense, I thought, was going to be a lot better. And the only reason I think their defense is not good is strictly because of the injuries. I think the last couple of years leading in, they had sacrificed their defense because they were a more prolific offense. This year they ran into a lot of bad luck with the injuries with the defense. These are the kind of teams, and they're playing the kind of football that wins Super Bowls. Okay, and they know how to do that. That coaching staff knows how to do it. And that, you're right, it's been such an evolution watching them evolve all year into different things. See, but that's also the beauty of football. We get so caught up in the fact that it's 16 games, but it's really months. And a lot can happen from week to week. It's not like baseball where it's day to day. That's not a knock on baseball. That's just the fact.
Mm-hmm.
And 2006 Colts, the worst rushing defense in the league. Bob Sanders comes back. They make some adjustments. They run the ball more. They win the Super Bowl, and they stop everybody on the ground. I mean, it's, you know, Baltimore last year, an offensive disaster for the last month of the season. goes into playoffs and scores 30 points with regularity. So we the ability to adjust, and who's been better at it than Bill Belichick?
That's true.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a guy won 11 games with the backup quarterback one year, running the same system. So I think the thing that's interesting about New England is we kind of sometimes get caught up in what they haven't done since 2004, and I prefer to look at what they have done. And that's and John and I have this discussion all the time. When they won 3 Super Bowls in 4 years, everybody was very quick to throw the dynasty label on them. I think they're a dynasty now, even though they haven't won the Super Bowl since 2004. I didn't think they were a dynasty when they won in 3 out of 4 because they missed the playoffs. They've won 5 AFC East titles in a row, 13 straight winning seasons, 11 straight seasons of 10 or more wins. That's what a dynasty is. A dynasty is not a burp. A dynasty is a long, sustained period of time.
I thought you were going to say a long, sustained belch.
Yeah, I was thinking belch, too, but I figured Kevin was going to cut me off after I said burp. So,
well, hey, well, Russell, hit me with your predictions here, because I want to wrap up here with who you think is going to win. Let's start off with the NFC Championship game. Seattle, San Francisco, up there at CenturyLink Field, or Quest, whatever it is up there. I have a feeling, I think I know who you're going to pick, but let me know what you think is going to happen in that game and who's going to win.
Well, I pick Seattle to be in the Super Bowl before the season. I very rarely change my mind, but San Francisco and Seattle are so much alike, and right now San Francisco is playing a better version of Seattle football than Seattle is. And to me, the road means nothing when you have a portable game plan. And I like the San Francisco 49ers this week. Even if they score more than only one offensive touchdown, I think that the Seahawks are still tweaking with their offensive line. Russell Wilson, I don't want to say he took a step backwards, but I think the fact that, you know, they were missing the tackles earlier in the year, you just can't slap those guys back on the field and expect continuity. You have this Niner defense that's been together for years, and I think they've shown it in the playoffs, and I think they're going to show it on Sunday.
All right, hit me with who you think is going to win the AFC Championship game.
I give credit to what New England has done all year. Going into Denver is a very, very tough place to play, though. I go back and watch what Knowshon Moreno did to them earlier in the season as far as the run defense. The Colts were never able really to do that last week. But this is just a hunch I have. I think New England will be bracing for the run very, very early because of that first game. And I think I won't be surprised if Peyton Manning goes up top early to Demaryius Thomas, maybe to Eric Decker, and maybe try to put the Patriots behind the eight ball a little and not rely on the run as much as they have. I think it'll be a fun game, but I'm looking at Denver something like a 28-20 score.
Okay, I just both of these games, and even more so in Denver, I think you always talk about how tone and tempo right out of the gate is absolutely paramount to success, and I think there's something to that when you're talking about this Patriots game, because as you mentioned before, you know, these two teams run the ball pretty well, and you know you want to be able to have that lead and run the ball in the second half. So I just mm-hmm. whoever's going to be able to jump out to that lead, I think whoever controls things right out of the gate, it's going to play a huge role in this one.
Well, I'll also say this about Denver, New England, though. Considering what did happen earlier this year with blowing the 24-0 halftime lead, the Broncos, they have to make, and after even what happened last week against San Diego, you know, this is a big mind game for the Broncos. Not Peyton Manning. I'm talking about the Broncos, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Depending on, I don't care how big the lead is, they have to stay aggressive. Now, aggressive doesn't necessarily mean throwing the ball. Aggressive means blitzing. Aggressive means a lot of different things. I don't think any Denver fan or any Denver player is going to be comfortable until it says 0-0-0 on that clock. You know, it's funny, putting away the Patriots these days, or if I should say for more than a decade, you know, I grew up watching the Cowboys and Roger Staubach. You never felt comfortable against the Cowboys until the game was actually over. That's kind of how it is against Tom Brady and the Patriots, but I'm leaning Denver, San Francisco this weekend.
They're a little bit like zombies. I used that phrase before when you're talking about the Ravens, that you have to cut off both their arms, cut off both their legs, and chop off the head and make sure it's buried under, you know, buried 6 feet under before you know that they're actually dead, you know, before you know that they're actually gone.
That's better than I could have said it.
Well, Russell Baxter, I really appreciate your time. Again, follow him at Bax Football Guru on Twitter. You can also read his stuff at Bleacher Report. Russell, I appreciate you taking the time this afternoon to talk with us here on Patriots Playbook.
You got it, my friend.
Take care. All right, we are going to take a real quick break here on Patriots Playbook. My name is Chris Price, as you will probably already know, filling in for John Rook. JR is not here. He is off today. We are going to get to some calls. We're going to get to some emails. If you want to get in touch with us, you can reach us at 855-PATS-500. That's 855-PATS-500. You can also email us at webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. Also, feel free to hit me on Twitter. I am at CPriceNFL. That's CPriceNFL. We're going to take a real quick break and come right back here on Patriots Playbook.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether the sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Hey guys, I never really got football, but ever since my parents switched to Verizon Fios, I'm a total expert. Fios internet is super fast, so I can stream football movies, download highlights.
Hey, sweetie, I need help with my fantasy lineup.
Dad, I'm doing my video blog.
Sorry.
Anyway, with Fios, the TV picture is crystal clear, so not now. Listen, Fios is 100% fiber optic, so everything's faster than ever, which leaves me time to do other things, like hanging that do not disturb sign on my door.
Upgrade your game this holiday season. Switch to a Fios Triple Play online for just $79.99 a month, guaranteed for the first year, plus a $300 holiday bonus with a two-year agreement. Visit gottogetfios.com today for America's fastest, most reliable internet. Technology that lets you rise to greatness. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Fios available in select areas. Limited time offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a two-year agreement and ends 1-18-14. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
This is Patriots Playbook with John Rook on Patriots.com Radio. Want to get inside the playbook? Call John on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
That's straight out of John Rook's iPod right there, isn't it? Little Marilyn Manson. I like that. Good stuff, man. All right, we are back here on Patriots Playbook. I'm Chris Price, filling in for John Rook. JR is off today. You can give us a call, as Mr. Announcer said, 855-PATS-500. That's 855-PATS-500. You can also reach us at webradio@patriots.com. One thing that's interesting to me, by the way, I should mention, we got Mark Johnson from KOA Radio in Denver joining us right after the top of the hour. One thing that's interesting for me is we always talk about how the Patriots are playing well in the playoffs, in the cold. But one thing that I found is interesting, that this game going into Sunday, weather's going to be fantastic in Denver. Now, I know Denver has all sorts of weather options at, you know, all times of the year. You can go there in the middle of January and it's 60 degrees, but it could be close to 60 degrees, which would make it the warmest postseason game of the Bill Belichick, Tom Brady era. It was 57 degrees last Saturday. I know it was rainy. I know it was horrible weather, but just thought I'd throw that in there. Andrew from Buffalo has been waiting so patiently for us throughout the Russell Baxter interview. Andrew, you there? I say Andrew. No, here we go. There we go. Andrew, you there?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much for waiting, by the way. I really appreciate that, man. What do you got?
Yeah, I didn't really listen to PFW earlier, but I was wondering, how was the health of Kimbrel Thompson and Aaron Dobson? Is any one of them two going to actually make it Sunday? I know Thompson's got to go through the protocol with the concussion.
Mm-hmm. I will say this, that we were out there at practice earlier today, and we saw them on the field. Now, it's important to note that we only get 10 or 15 minutes at the start of practice, just kind of stretching and drills, but they appeared to be moving okay. Obviously, Dobson has been struggling with a foot injury over the last month or so, and he wasn't out there against the Colts. But at least right now, they're in good shape. Really, Andrew, the biggest thing for me when you're talking about guys who are injured and whether or not they'll be able to play is Thursday. If they're at practice on Thursday, if they're a full go on Thursday, chances are really good that they're going to play on Sunday. Obviously, Thursday, Friday, we find out Friday, you know, if they're downgraded out more often than not. So really, I'd check back on Thursday and Friday. But right now, You know, I'd be cautiously optimistic about the situation involving Kenbrell Tompkins and Aaron Dobson.
Yes, yeah, there would be a big talk Sunday. I think they can contribute and have a success to doing that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree. I'll say this about Dobson, too, and really, to some extent, Tompkins. They are really the only two guys, when you want to talk about guys who can stretch the field, when you want to talk about guys who can, you know, maybe put a little bit of fear into that secondary in terms of getting behind those safeties and putting up some big numbers, I think those are two of your best bets. Obviously, Edelman, Amendola, Vereen, those guys are more yak guys, more yards after catch guys, but I think you get good performances out of those guys. You have the potential to get good performances out of those guys.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you all for taking my call.
Thank you. All right. Take care. You can reach us here at 855-PATS-500. That's 855-PATS-500. You can also give us a call at webradio@patriots.com. Once again, we got Mark Johnson from KOA Radio in Denver joining us after the top of the hour. We want to read some emails here really quickly. First off, we just got one from Sky West here. Here we go. Chris, first off, great game against the Colts. Our offensive line won the game for us. Robert Mathis's name was mentioned only once during the entire game. Once again, BB took away the best player on that side of the ball. My question is, it seems though the matchup favors the pass this week over the run. Do we go back to the pass? I know we have, quote, no one, but we actually do. Edelman, Amendola, Kali, Vereen. Or do we keep running the ball until the Broncos stop us? Is this a new team? Or do we put the ball in Brady's hands to bring it home? Everyone is calling this game epic and will be close, but I would much prefer a blowout by the Pats. Sky West says 35-31. I think it's going to be really interesting. We touched on a few of these topics with Russell Baxter a little bit early on. I think when you look at this game, there are a couple of different things come into play when you're talking about the Patriots offense against the Denver defense. You look at the numbers and you say, well, Denver is seventh in the league against the run this year, so you might not want to run it. But then you put some of those rushing yards into context. And what I mean by that is they were playing a lot of teams early and they were blowing a lot of teams out. Now, when you're down 21-0, 28-0, you know, at halftime in the third quarter, you're not really interested in running the ball. So I think the rushing attempts are actually down when you look at the overall defensive numbers. So I think that's why those numbers probably are a little bit better. They're probably a little bit artificially inflated. I will say this. I think weather, matchups, in the fact that the Broncos secondary is a little bit banged up, I think that causes the Patriots to throw the ball a little bit more this week than they have in previous weeks. I'm not saying that they're going to completely go away from LeGarrette Blount, Stephen Ridley, away from what those guys have been able to do, because I think that's become a huge part of what they do offensively, particularly Blount in the second half, just working as an absolute wrecking ball in those opposing defenses. But I do think that they are going to get into a situation where they're going to have to throw the ball to win. Now, whether it's going to be Edelman, Amendola, Kali, Vereen, I think you're going to need to see Amendola, Kali, or Vereen really step to the fore this week. I think one of those guys is going to have a big week in terms of being a presence in the passing game, in terms of being a target, because you remember the first time these two teams met, they had Rob Gronkowski. The Patriots had Rob Gronkowski. They leaned on him. I believe he had 7 or 8 catches for, I think, just under 100 yards, had a touchdown. You're going to have someone step into that offensive void if you're going to want to pass the ball. I think, you know, you understand that Edelman is probably going to get his targets regardless. You're going to need to see something out of Amendola, Kali, or Vereen, or Dobson and Tompkins, going back to the conversation we just had with the caller before. You're going to need to see a bigger game out of one of those guys, I think, if the Patriots are going to want to be able to move the chains consistently when it comes to passing the ball. It's a great email, Sky. I really appreciate your time. Got a couple more emails here I want to read, get to right before the break. Eric Chen emails Patriots web, or actually I should give you the email address here, webradio@patriots.com. Owner Bob Kraft has stated this team reminds him of the 2001 team, but to me the 2000 Patriots are reminiscent of the 2004 team when we had a big strong running back in Corey Dillon facing the record-breaking aerial assault of the 2004 Colts without Richard Seymour and Ty Law. And yet in some ways it also reminds me of 2006 when the Patriots had limited receiving options and Troy Brown and Richie Caldwell playing in the RCA Dome. Either way, if we want to be Peyton Manning and the Broncos, we have to follow the same formula as 2004. Be extremely physical on defense, apply pressure on Manning, confuse him, and be opportunistic. On offense, a patient, methodical, and balanced attack that takes time off the clock with Blount as the new Corey Dillon and Julian Edelman as the new Deion Branch. That's Eric from San Gabriel, California. Eric, I appreciate your email. And I think there's something to that. I think the game plan for beating Peyton Manning has been the same ever since, you know, shortly after the earth cooled, quite frankly. You want to keep him off the field. The best way to beat him is to keep him away from the action for as long as possible, whether it's through running the ball, short passes, whatever you want to do, you need to control the clock. You need to put together some sustained drives against Peyton Manning and the Broncos, because the best way to beat him is to keep him off the field. Patriots are able to control the clock, especially early. We talked about this with Russell before. You're going to need to be able to control the tempo of this one. You can't let this one get away, because you're going to need to play good, sound, complementary football. Now, against Denver and Manning, that means controlling the clock, controlling the tempo, putting together some 7, 8, 9 minute drives in a perfect world, and really grinding them down. You know, using them, Eric, to your point, a lot like they used Corey Dillon back in 2004. Just be able to bring that thunder if you are LeGarrette Blount or Stephen Ridley. Keep moving those chains. That's going to be a huge part of what they do. Again, I think they're going to throw the ball a little bit more than they have over the last month or so, but I still think the running game is going to be an absolutely vital part of the game plan going into the AFC Championship game against the Broncos. Got one more email I want to read right before the break. This is Mojiguer, who said, as I said last week, Patriots win if they control the line of scrimmage. If they do, then Blount and company can run. Brady has time to hold the ball so receivers can get open. On defense, same thing. Collins and company, Ninkovich and Silinga, must do their thing. The running game also dominates the time of possession. If this all happens, they win. That's Mo in Vienna, Virginia. Mo, great point. I think that's a perfect scenario for the Patriots. They're able to control things up front. If they're able to move the ball and move it consistently, and really, based on what they've done over the course of the last month or so, there's no reason to think that the Patriots are going to get too far away from running the ball. I think they do win this game. I think you bring up a couple of interesting points. I'm interested to see how Jamie Collins matches up on Julius Thomas this weekend, because really, those were two guys who didn't play much of a role at all going into the last game these two teams played. Julius Thomas, I think, brings an interesting offensive wrinkle for Denver. He's not an overwhelming tight end, but he's a steady and dependable presence back there for them. And then you have Jamie Collins, who really stepped to the fore, emerged as a real presence in the divisional playoff game against the Colts last weekend. So I think that those two guys, some new guys, and that all goes into the idea that, look, there are a lot of reasons to think that you can take some of the fundamental elements from this game, from the November game, and bring them forward to this week. But I think in a lot of ways, especially when it comes to personnel, you're looking at a whole new package. You know, you're looking at guys who weren't involved in the game. Julius Thomas, LeGarrette Blount only played two snaps early on. Dante Hightower didn't play at all in the second half. Rob Gronkowski played for the Patriots. So a lot of shifting faces, a lot of new faces, a lot of different looks, I think, on both sides of the ball. So you can take some elements out of that game, but I wouldn't go too far into going back and watching the tape and trying to figure out what happened in this game and then trying to apply it to this one. We're going to take a real quick break here. Give us a call, 855-PATS-500. That's 855-PATS-500. Also, feel free to shoot us an email at webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. My name is Chris Price, filling in for John Rook here on Patriots Playbook.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether the sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. 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 Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Hey guys, I never really got football, but ever since my parents switched to Verizon Fios, I'm a total expert. Fios internet is super fast, so I can stream football movies, download highlights.
Hey, sweetie, I need help with my fantasy lineup.
Dad, I'm doing my video blog.
Sorry.
Anyway, with Fios, the TV picture is crystal clear, so not now. Listen, Fios is 100% fiber optic, so everything's faster than ever, which leaves me time to do other things, like hanging that do not disturb sign on my door.
Upgrade your game this holiday season. Switch to a Fios Triple Play Online for just $79.99 a month, guaranteed for the first year, plus a $300 holiday bonus with a two-year agreement. Visit gottogetfios.com today for America's fastest, most reliable internet. Technology that lets you rise to greatness. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by Metabank, member FDIC. Fios available in select areas. Limited time offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a two-year agreement and ends 1-18-14. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson, and you're listening to Patriots Playbook on Patriots.com Radio.
That is a classic combination right there, Kevin Collins. A classic combination, Steve Nelson and Pearl Jam. Kudos to you, my good man. We are here on Patriots Playbook. My name is Chris Price, filling in for John Rook. JR is off today. Give us a call at 855-PATS-500. That's 855-PATS-500. You could also shoot us an email at webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. We got a lot of different stuff we're talking about today. Well, not a lot of different stuff. We're just talking about the AFC Championship game. We're talking about the Broncos. We're talking about the Patriots. How this matchup shapes up. What do the Patriots have to do to win? Where are some vulnerabilities for both teams on both sides of the ball? We heard from Russell Baxter from Bleacher Report before. giving us some really great numbers, breaking things down, doing a really good job breaking down the NFC Championship game. If you guys want to talk about the NFC Championship game, we could do that as well, because I think that's kind of off the radar screen here a little bit in New England, because everyone is so Patriots focused. And it makes sense. It just makes sense that we are Patriots focused, because, this is New England after all. But looking at a great game in the NFC Championship game, you're looking at the 49ers, you're looking at the Seahawks, you're looking at two teams that really, frankly, don't really care much for each other. So I everything is on the table. Football-wise, I don't want to go as far to say the draft, but let's look at, this game in really the way it shapes up. I think, as we said before the break, I think you're looking at a Patriots team that's probably going to throw the ball a little bit more than we've seen over the last few games, over the last four or five games. I think there's going to be a little bit more offensive balance for a few reasons, including the fact it's going to be nicer weather this Sunday than it's been over the last month or so. We are going to talk to Mark Johnson from KOA Radio out in Denver to get the Broncos' perspective on things. Mark, thank you very much for joining us here on Patriots Playbook.
Hey, Chris, thanks for having me on.
Wow, you don't disappoint me. Kevin said you had great pipes. You deliver.
I say thank you, but I had nothing to do with it. I grew up and this is what happened. So.
Good stuff. Well, tell me, first of all, let's start off by kind of figuring out what the vibe is like out there. I think here in New England, there's a sense of cautious optimism that the Patriots can go out there and knock off Peyton and the Broncos. Tell me what the feeling is like out there in the Rockies.
Well, I think there's extreme optimism, which in some respects makes me a little bit nervous, because I just go back 1 year ago, and on our airwaves and every other station in town, everyone was going on and on about how the Denver Broncos, you can punch the ticket for the Super Bowl, and then the team from Baltimore came in here and snuck one out of here, and so that always makes me nervous. But the optimism is off the charts on this end, and so I think there's reasons to be. Obviously, this team was very good this season. Obviously, was as good as anybody offensively in the National Football League. But I always get a little bit nervous when everyone gets too overly optimistic.
Can we spend a lot of time looking back at that November game and trying to pull out tendencies and pull out situations where that could be applied going forward? I just look at these rosters and these rosters really, and the guys talked about it in the locker room down here today. Bill talked about it as well, that these are two really vastly different teams in terms of personnel. You look at Denver, Julius Thomas wasn't there. You look at the Patriots, Rob Gronkowski played. You look at the Patriots also, frankly, Dante Hightower didn't play at all in the second half. LeGarrette Blount had two snaps, fumbled and wasn't seen for the rest of the game.
Right.
I think these two teams are really different, and there's a bunch of other things too as well. But I think really these two teams are as different as you can be from a November game to a January game.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I mean, even from the Broncos' perspective, think of it this way. They lost arguably their best guy from every level of their defense now by the time that, for the last time that the Patriots saw the Broncos until now. Kevin Vickerson goes down the front. Linebacker Von Miller is out for the rest of the year. Now Chris Harris, we find out after the game on Sunday, is out. Their outstanding young cornerback. And so it's an entirely different team. And that's why I don't look back to that game and figure I can probably mine too much out of that contest going forward. Now, the one good news is the two guys that are taking the snaps are still out there. And so that's going to make for, I think, very high drama in this ball game at Mile High Stadium on Sunday.
How do the Broncos approach this thing offensively? Do they try and run the ball? I mean, and I know a lot of it obviously depends on what the Patriots decide to do defensively, and it's a matter of kind of taking what you get. But at the same time, what is their number one course of action going into this thing? If you're a Broncos fan, what's the perfect scenario for you?
Well, I think probably, and I go back to even what happened just this past weekend against the San Diego Chargers. That was about, in my decade here at KOA and at Denver, that was as physical a football game as I've ever seen the Denver Broncos play. I thought the offensive line was mauling San Diego and was extremely physical. And so I would not be surprised this week. I think, and probably the best scenario for the Broncos is if they go out there and are able to control the ball like that and, have a big day for a guy like Sean Moreno and as good as a story as he has been here in 2013, 2014. And it seems odd to say that, and the same may be the case for New England. It seems odd to say that when you're talking about Manning and Brady being out there, but I think that's probably the best scenario. If they can do that, run the ball effectively, that front is as physical as they were last week, and then Peyton Manning does what Peyton Manning does when he's needed to step up and throw the football.
It's really interesting going into this game. To your point, we always look at the two quarterbacks. Whenever it's a Brady Manning matchup, we always say, well, it's going to be all about the quarterbacks. But this is a game where you can look at Moreno and you can look at LeGarrette Blount and to some extent Stephen Ridley and Shane Vereen, that really is going to be decided by the play of the running backs.
Yeah, I think so. And maybe more specifically what those guys up front will do. And last Sunday, I thought on both fronts, offensively and defensively, I thought they did a great job. I already talked about what they did in the offensive line. I thought that defensive front played as well as it has since Vickerson went down. And so I think that's really what's going to, and I know that's cliche to say, well, you know, what happens up front is going to determine this football game, but I really think in this case, with what these two teams have done and how they've evolved at different times, really in the last couple of seasons and certainly this year for the Denver Broncos, I think that is especially true in this ball game. What the big fellas do up front, both offensively and defensively, and how the opposition reacts to that, I think is going to be a huge indicator in this game.
You're listening to Patriots Playbook. My name is Chris Price, filling in for John Rook. You can give us a call at 855-PATS-500. That's 855-PATS-500. Also, feel free to shoot us an email at webradio@patriots.com. We're talking with Mark Johnson from KOA Radio in Denver. You can follow him on Twitter at mjohnson850KOA. Have a lot of people out there, and I know it's less than 24 hours old, but it kind of struck a few people back here in an interesting way, just put it that way. The decision to sign Marquise Cole. The people out here, of course, we just went through a situation, the Colts game where the Colts signed Deion Branch a couple days beforehand, and everyone back here said, oh, you know, they're kind of pumping Deion for intel. What's been the reaction out there? I know from a practical perspective, you look at the Denver secondary, you figure there's a guy on the street who might be able to help you. And, oh, by the way, he also played for the Patriots.
Well, and because he played for the Patriots, he might be able to help you.
Exactly, yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
To take that thought one step further.
Yeah,
yeah, I think it was. I did when the release came out and I saw they signed him, I did kind of chuckle because I thought, okay, certainly they need some help in the back end of that defense. But there might be a little bit of gamesmanship going on here as well. You know, they need somebody back there to help out because, you know, we talk about Chris Harris going down. Quentin Jammer right now, he got old very, very quickly all of a sudden. And you've seen that as well with Champ Bailey losing a step as well. And so as those guys have not, especially a guy like Champ has begun to decline kind of right before our eyes here, they need some, with Harris going down, they certainly need some help. So they fill the position they need. And oh, by the way, that might work out really well for us if he can give us any little nugget that we can take and maybe utilize for our advantage in that ballgame on Sunday. So yeah, I think a lot of people around Denver kind of got a chuckle about that yesterday.
Are these two teams going to do anything to necessarily surprise each other? I know that John Fox and Bill Belichick have been in the league for a long time, of course.
Sure.
You know, John with Carolina before. So, you know, you kind of have your coaching tendencies in what you're going to do. And Bill talked a little bit about it today. You know, this is not the kind of team that's all of a sudden going to, you know, put 20 new plays in a week, you know.
Right.
These two teams kind of, and there is some, you know, some change up and some flexibility, but really offensively, these two teams kind of do what they do.
Yeah, I think there's no question about that. And those two guys under center are so dominant and are so influential, and they set such a tone within, you know, these given organizations. I think they are what they are. Now, can there be some wrinkles? And, you know, a guy that I do some college broadcasts with, Chad Brown, former New England Patriot, of course, has talked about the genius many times of Bill Belichick and just raves about his attention to detail. And Chad will say, well, you know, unabashedly that he's the best coach he ever played for. And so I wouldn't be surprised if there's some small wrinkle here or there or something that might be a little bit different, but I can't imagine at this late juncture that anybody's going to be able to do anything that's probably really going to shock anybody to any great extent you know, in this ballgame and on a short turnaround in just a week, especially with New England traveling out here. So I can't imagine anything major, but there's certainly what is going to be. These guys have been around long enough. There's certainly going to be some small things in there that maybe you and I might not pick up on, in fact, during a ballgame, but we'll hear about afterward that maybe you know, raised an eyebrow and made some you know, assistant coaches quickly adjust in some form or fashion.
I know a lot of Patriots fans are hoping for about 15 degrees and snow and ice and sleet and rain, but you know, the last check of weather.com says it's going to be almost 60 degrees out there on Sunday.
Yeah, in fact, right before you guys called, I just checked just to make sure I knew what they were saying, and at this juncture they're saying 57 and partly sunny. So it's going to be one of the spectacular you know, mile high afternoons here in Denver on Sunday. So there's no luck in that regard of having a real nasty weather game to, you know, taste. They test the Peyton Manning theory that he can't play in cold and windy weather. So, no such luck for New England fans.
See, I think part of that also is you know, we talk about not being able to bring a lot forward from that November game. That November game was so horrible. It was 20 degrees. It was just,
yeah.
It was icy. It was an uncomfortable situation to play in. They're walking into a situation, and I'll tell you this, Mark, it's the most amazing thing because this could be the warmest Patriots playoff game ever. which blows me away. I mean, they played a 57, and obviously, you know, it was in the rain, but it was 57 degrees at kickoff against the Colts. And this could be even better than that. We always talk about how great Brady is in the cold weather and their ability to, you know, successfully execute when it's, you know, 30 degrees or less. I wonder, does this favor anyone? Does a warm weather situation favor anyone going into this game?
Well, I'd have to think. Now, there is that theory about Manning and the cold weather and all that kind of thing, and I've never truly bought into that, quite honestly. I think, to me, it's more of the combination of cold and windy that you know, he struggled with. But then again, he's not the first quarterback. I mean, John Elway was on, you know, unashamed to say that he didn't like playing in those conditions when he played, you know, back in the day in the 90s for the Denver Broncos. So I think it would be interesting. I think it certainly would add more intrigue for guys like you and me leading up to this ball game. You know, I'm always about interesting, right? And it would be interesting if it were one of those nasty conditions, if it was 13 degrees and snowing and windy on that afternoon. But yeah, this thing is going to be about, for this time of year, about as picture perfect as you can possibly ask for. I mean, almost 60, not a whole lot of wind, partly cloudy. It's middle of the day, and so, you know, 1 o'clock kickoff here at Denver time. So it's not like it's even going to be getting late in the afternoon and the, you know, starting to lose sunlight and that kind of thing, and temperatures cooling off. This thing is going to be picture perfect on Sunday. There is no weather effect I can see at this point in time in this game whatsoever.
Mark, give us your take on what's going to happen on Sunday.
I still think this is going to be one heck of a ball game. And you know, probably, you know, being that I'm sitting in Denver right now, I'll pick Denver, but by a narrow margin. I'm thinking like a 31-28 kind of ball game. And I could easily be swayed to go the other direction, too. I really think this is going to be a great game. And, you know, before we went on, we were talking with your producer saying, you know, this thing could be an instant classic. And I think both of these title games in the AFC and the NFC are going to be great matchups this week. And that's why I think this thing will come right down to the end. And simply, I'll give you the 3 points for being at home. How about that for the Denver Broncos?
Makes perfect sense. Tell me, what do you think is going to happen in the NFC real quick?
I tell you what, San Francisco to me is the most complete football team top to bottom. I love the way they're playing right now. Going back to what we talked about earlier, the fronts, they are dominating people up front right now. And I know that going into Seattle's, in fact, I was up there last weekend when they had their playoff going. I was doing some college basketball up there, and they're playing very well right now. But I'm going to go with San Francisco in that one by a touchdown.
He's Mark Johnson from KOA Radio. Mark, I really appreciate your time. Follow him on Twitter at mjohnson850KOA. That's mjohnson850KOA. Mark, take care. We really appreciate it.
Hi, Chris. See you.
Bye. Mark Johnson. You know, he really didn't disappoint when it came to the pipes. Kevin, you were spot on with that, man. He really had it.
One of the genuine nice guys in sports radio in America.
He does. He seems like a good dude. So that was fun.
John and I last year, I believe. No, it was 2 years ago in 2011. It was his day off in the middle of the week. He was like in the Rockies fly fishing, and he still did the spot for us. And in order to get reception, he was in like a cave talking to us. And he sent us a picture. I think he texted John and I on the same thread a picture of a salmon, a beautiful salmon that he caught. It was unbelievable.
I know nothing about the guy. He sounds like a fly fisherman. And looking at his Twitter page, yeah, he's an outdoorsman. He's an outdoorsman.
I was just talking to a buddy online who's listening to the show. We need a Mark Johnson around this year.
Yeah, we really do. Yeah, well, he was good to talk to, giving us a little bit of the Denver perspective and how he sees things going down this weekend. Give us a call, 855-PATS-500. That's 855-PATS-500. You could also reach us via email at webradio@patriots.com, webradio@patriots.com. My name is Chris Price, filling in for John Rook here on Patriots Playbook. We're going to take a real quick break, and we will be back right after this.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami.
Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest prices on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Hey guys, I never really got football, but ever since my parents switched to Verizon Fios, I'm a total expert. Fios internet is super fast, so I can stream football movies, download highlights.
Hey, sweetie, I need help with my fantasy lineup.
Dad, I'm doing my video blog.
Sorry.
Anyway, with Fios, the TV picture is crystal clear, so not now. Listen, Fios is 100% fiber optic, so everything's faster than ever, which leaves me time to do other things, like hanging that do not disturb sign on my door.
Upgrade your game this holiday season. Switch to a Fios Triple Play Online for just $79.99 a month, guaranteed for the first year, plus a $300 holiday bonus with a two-year agreement. Visit gottogetfios.com today for America's fastest, most reliable internet. Technology that lets you rise to greatness. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Fios available in select areas. Limited time offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a two-year agreement and ends 1-18-14. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Now's your chance to hit up John Rook inside the Patriots playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Call 508-298-0398. That's 508-298-0398. Now, back to your host, John Rook.
I am not John Rook. I'm Chris Price. I'm filling in for John Rook today on Patriots Playbook. You can reach us at 855-PATS-500. That's 855-PATS-500. Also, shoot us an email at webradio@patriots.com. I'm going to be here up until 4 o'clock hosting today's edition of Patriots Playbook. Right now on the line, we got Mike from Revere. Mike, talk to me. What do you got?
Hey, guys. Long-time listener, second-time caller. I just wanted to ask an opinion, and I don't mean to get too far off topic, but I can't help but notice the NFC is constantly producing great teams that are typically led by scrambling quarterbacks compared to the AFC, which all the great teams that make it to the Super Bowl and AFC Championship always seem to have pocket passing style quarterbacks. And I'm wondering if you think it's the NFL scheduling that makes this clash in culture happen, because, you know, the NFC plays itself 12 times a year. Only four games out of that season are played against the AFC. What's your opinion on that?
I think it's a really interesting take. I think it does, at least on the surface, appear that, you know, you look at the 49ers, you look at the Seahawks, you look at the, you know, you look at the Panthers, you look at the Redskins. Those are teams that have, you know, more, you know, they have more scrambling quarterbacks. You know, they have guys in offensively, they have a different offensive approach in a lot of ways, not every way, but it seems to work for them. It seems to work for a lot of them. But I do think that there's some of those guys in the AFC. I don't know if it's strictly, you know, an AFC-NFC thing. I think that there are some younger guys. And I also think that, you know, the great quarterback class a couple of years ago feeds into it as well, because there were more NFC guys, more NFC teams in the market for a quarterback then. But I think it's cyclical. I think that, you know, you're going to have success either way. But yeah, no, that's a really interesting point. I'm trying to think of some AFC scrambling quarterbacks, and they're not necessarily scrambling quarterbacks, but guys who can make plays with their feet. Ryan Tannehill is really the first one that comes to mind. Geno Smith.
Terrell Pryor.
Terrell Pryor. Andrew Luck is not a scrambling quarterback, but at the same time, he's been able to kind of pull the ball down and run with it when he needs to. But yeah, you know, you look at the body of work in the AFC, in most of the really great AFC teams of the last decade or so, have had those bigger, stronger pocket passers. Now, I don't know. Well, the exception, though, might be in Pittsburgh with Roethlisberger. He might be a little bit more of a scrambling guy, even though he's a bigger guy. But I'm fascinated by the way the quarterback position has kind of evolved. You know, I think that the future is going to be a little bit along the lines of kind of the Russell Wilson type, someone who can run, but also is not predominantly a runner, someone who can still throw the ball when needed, 250, 300 yards a game. So it's going to be interesting to see how that position continues to evolve. Are we going to go in more of a direction where you're looking at more of a, you know, a Philadelphia style, kind of a fast break offense, or, you know, you're going to get more of the veteran pocket passers. Now you look at a guy like Teddy Bridgewater, who's got a little bit more mobility, who's coming out, you know, he's more of the June generation guy, you know, but you have, you know, the Bradys, the Breezes, the Mannings, both Mannings, that group as well. So I think it's a really interesting point, Mike. And I think that, you know, we're going to see the position continue to evolve. And I think we're going to see more and more guys come up, but I don't think it's a strictly AFC versus NFC thing.
I don't either. And I appreciate you answering my question about that. That was a good take. But and I agree a little bit with Pittsburgh. Roethlisberger does like to scramble, but I still see him as more of a pocket passer, kind of run when he has to, almost like Andrew Luck,
yeah,
and a quarterback.
Yeah, you know what? That's a really good analogy, because I heard a couple of guys talk about that in the locker room in the days leading up to the Colts game, that they were reminded of Roethlisberger when they're talking about Luck, because he's a big guy who can move. In the fact that he can shed tacklers,
they look alike too a little bit.
Yeah, well, yeah, with a bad facial hair, you know, the bad beard, and everything, man.
Brutal, like coal miner type worker type of look. I see that.
That is though, Mike. That's a really interesting take on that. You know, and again, like I said before, I'm really interested in the evolution of the position. I will say this though: every year you go to the combine, I'm lucky enough to get a chance to go to the combine, and you talk to some of these younger quarterbacks. They still go back to, you know, their heroes aren't necessarily the younger guys. And you would think that some of their heroes would be the younger guys. They always, to a man, no matter their playing style, they always go back to, you know, Brady, Manning, again, Breeze, kind of the older guys, and say, you know, those are the guys who I want to be like. Those are the guys who win the championships. Those are the guys who I want to be remembered as kind of following in their footsteps, not necessarily the newer guys, the flashier guys. So it's interesting for me to see the game change and to see the game evolve and the position of quarterback evolve.
Right. And it kind of, to me, I can't help but visualize when I see, or in my mind, I think of the AFC versus the NFC. I see the AFC as more of an old style, not so much scrambling quarterback league, and the NFC is more of a flashier, like you were saying earlier, like the Philadelphia Eagles, the track team,
yep,
known as the Eagles.
Yeah, I think that there's more offensive, what's the best phrase I want to use? More offensive experimentation right now going on in the NFC. And I think that's manifested in the different offensive styles, you know, the different quarterback styles, the different styles of play. I'm not necessarily saying that's a bad thing, but I'm just saying that they appear to be a little bit more ahead of the offensive curve when you're talking about, you know, the complete breakdown specific to quarterback play.
Absolutely. And I'm seeing the pistol formation become more and more popular.
Oh, that's great, isn't it? I love watching that stuff.
I've been hoping the Patriots would utilize it at least a little bit. Back in the day when we had Lawrence Maroney, and I saw this in college, I was like, why don't we try that a little bit? Based off of his running style, it might work. We never do it. I've never seen us once use the pistol, but the Broncos have, the Colts.
You know what, though? I think it's a comfort level. And I got to let you go, Mike. I'm sorry. But I think it's a comfort level when you're talking about the pistol. And I don't know, you know, Brady is nothing if not versatile when it comes to the overall offensive approach, but I think at the same time, I think you want to play to your strengths, and I don't know if the pistol is necessarily a strong suit of what the Patriots might do offensively and what Brady might do offensively. We got Jane in New York City up next on Patriots Playbook. Jane, what do you got?
Hi. Listen, I just wanted to talk a little bit about Tom Brady not practicing today, because I think by not saying anything about it, it's really creating a lot of hubbub on the internet, and now it's on the front page of the New York Times website. So
he moves the needle, doesn't he?
You know, by silence, it's just kind of making it a big story.
Yeah, but that's their approach. I mean, you know, say what you will. I mean, at least they're consistent. I'm not saying it's right, but in terms of what the Patriots, the way they go about their operation, you know, they're not going to say anything. They're going to let us all guess about it. I will say this, and we let off the show talking about this, that it really is. I think it's one of two things. I think last week we saw him struggle with some health issues, and I think that it really kind of made sense. You know, if you're going to have him take a personal day, today is the day where you have him take a personal day. But I think really, you know, I wouldn't get too worked up about it. I really would. I know I compare this to, you know, earlier in the year. This is a great setup. Okay, earlier in the year during training camp, when Adrian Claiborne crashed into his leg, and the universe came to a halt when he had
helicopter thing.
Oh, exactly. Helicopter right. Gate and all that too. I think that's very similar to what's going on now. I think there's no reason to think that he will not be okay for the AFC Championship game. Put it that way.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks a lot, guys.
No worries. Thank you, Jane.
You got a New York fan, which is pretty unusual.
Well, thanks.
I get pummeled on the streets for wearing a Patriots cap. I mean, pummeled. I actually had some guy come up to me off the street, had no idea who he was, and said, "What the hell are you wearing that for?" Because you're crazy? And I said, "Well, I guess I am."
Well, thanks for the call, Jane. I really appreciate it.
Okay, bye.
Take care. You can reach us at 855-PATS-500. That's 855-PATS-500. You can also send us an email, webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. Got one email I want to read before we go to some audio from Bill Belichick earlier today, audio from his press conference earlier today. This is from Brian Murphy. Again, if you want to send an email, webradio@patriots.com. Brian in Essex, Vermont, welcome to Playbook, Mr. Price. Glad to see there's so many willing to step in for Rook when his talents are needed elsewhere. Well, thank you. My question is, who will represent the bigger loss in the AFC Championship game, Gronkowski or Von Miller? Gronkowski had 7 receptions on 10 targets for 90 yards and a touchdown. Miller had 6 tackles, 2 assists, 2 sacks, 1 stuff. I think he forced 1 fumble and picked up another for a 60-yard TD run, I think. I think you're correct in that. So who will be the biggest loss? And mixed here, clearly having Gronk back would be massive for the Patriots offense, but without Miller, Denver probably doesn't go up 24-0 in halftime. Plus, the Patriots at this point are used to working without Gronk on the field, so it's a tough call. You know, that's a great question. I think ultimately, I have to think Miller is a slightly bigger loss because the Patriots have shown, at least when you look at the numbers, and again, I haven't really gone inside the Denver defense from a film perspective, but when you just look at the numbers, the Patriots have been able to make it work offensively. And I know I'm going to get killed for saying this, but they may have been able to make it work offensively without Gronkowski. That's not to intimate that they are a better offense without Rob Gronkowski, but they've been able to make it work. Different guys have stepped up. LeGarrette Blount, Stephen Ridley, Shane Vereen, Danny Amendola to some extent. I think it's a little bit of a bigger loss for the Patriots without Gronkowski. That being said, Miller's one of the best in the game at what he does. Miller's a fantastic pass rusher, and I think he changes the game when he is in there for Denver. So I'm going to wuss out. I'm going to go about 50-50, probably with a slight edge. Let's give a 51-49 edge to Gronkowski in terms of being a bigger loss here in that situation. Thank you very much. Brian in Essex, Vermont, you're listening to Patriots Playbook right here on Patriots.com. You can reach us at 855-PATS-500. That's 855-PATS-500. Also shoot us an email, webradio@patriots.com. Kevin, we just going to go right into this audio? All right. This is the audio from the press conference from earlier today involving Patriots coach Bill Belichick.
All right. Well, first of all, I want to say on behalf of the football team, you know, it's an honor to be playing in this game for the AFC Championship. It's been a lot of hard work all year by our staff and our players, by our football team to get to this position. And it'll be a great challenge for us Sunday, going into Denver, playing the top-ranked team in the AFC. They've had a terrific year from the opening game against Baltimore all the way through the season. They've been a strong football team. They showed it again last week against San Diego. Offense, defense, special teams, they made big plays in all those areas. They're a well-balanced team, got a good level of experience, they're well-coached, and they've been a good football team all year. So I have a lot of respect for that entire organization, for John, his staff, and the players on that team. So, you know, we need to have a good week. We need to play our best football out there Sunday. I think this team understands that, and that's what we're going to work toward all week. I think that, again, it's been a long, tough road to get to this point. We faced a lot of great competition along the way, and in and out we're playing the top-ranked team in the AFC. So looking forward to the matchup. Know it's going to be a challenge, but we're looking forward to it.
Bill, I know the injury report will come out later today.
Correct, Miguel. Yes, we'll talk about that when it comes out.
Okay, no sneak peeks or previews?
No, we're not going through it play by play. I'm not doing that.
Okay, follow-up.
I know we'd love that, but I'm not doing that.
No, even a follow-up. A change of gears. Champ Bailey and Sean Phillips are two players who have been in the league for a long time. A lot of attention is paid to players who've been in search of that Super Bowl ring or the appearance in the Super Bowl. What's your appraisal of these two players have been around for so long? What do they bring to Denver specifically?
Well, I mean, you know, Champ's pretty close to the face of that franchise, has been for the last decade. Great player, great ball skills, tremendous consistency. You know, I think Champ's one of the players that makes him so special is he can just match up against anybody. Put him on big receivers, put him on tight ends, put him on little fast guys, put him on anybody you want. And, you know, he's always been able to cover the top players. Excellent run force player, good tackler, tough, very instinctive. And he's been a great football player. He's had a great career. And, you know, Sean's been, you know, an excellent in the 34 defense out of San Diego. Most of the time he played, you know, outside linebacker and then defensive end in their sub defenses, but you know, physical player on the edge, good pass rusher. Again, very instinctive guy, does a good job of recognizing things, taking advantage of you know, offensive mistakes or you know, getting the anticipation of plays that are coming based on his experience and his understanding. You know, had both players in a Pro Bowl and good to work with, solid guys. I'm sure they bring a lot to their team.
Next question, Ben Vaughn.
Still left side here. It was only late November when you faced this team. As you prepare this week, how much do you think you can take away from that first matchup in Week 12, or do you see two pretty different teams at this point?
Well, I think we're going to see a different game. I don't know about two different teams, so we're going to see a different game, and I think the matchups We got some players that are playing in this game, didn't play in that game, and so do they. So, you know, we'll just have to see how it all plays out. But the guys that we have and, you know, what we have, we're going to do our best to be ready to go and match up with them. And there's some new faces out there as well. So we'll just have to see how that unfolds. But, you know, it's just like any time you play a team twice, I think you look at what happened, but, you know, you got to erase the board and start all over again.
Bill, how does your relationship with Tom and your familiarity with each other help you in a game of this magnitude?
I don't really look at this game any different than a lot of the other games. I mean, I meet with Tom on a regular basis, meet with the quarterbacks on a regular basis, weekly, all year long. So we'll do the same thing this week that we've done every other week.
Can I just follow up that real quick? But just in terms of, you guys know each other so well. When's the last time Tom Brady surprised you?
Morning. We'll keep that between Tom and I. All
right. Mark Byron Barnett. Coach, the fans are really excited about LeGarrette Blount. His jerseys have just sold out right after the last game. Could you talk a little bit about the impact that he's had here at the end of the season and what that's allowed you to do? And one other follow-up, have you ever had any trouble figuring out how to pronounce his name at the beginning?
That's how you go, LG. Make it easy there. You know, LeGarrette's given us good football all year long. He really has. And certainly he's had some outstanding games recently, but, you know, he's been a solid player for us all the way through. You know, go back to the Atlanta game, that was a big game for us on the road. You know, he did a great job in that game, gave us an explosive play that we really needed to win. So I think everybody has a lot of confidence in him. He's done a good job in the passing game. You know, he's caught a couple, you know, check downs, screen passes, stuff like that. You know, and obviously the kickoff returns have been big for us. We're big for us in the Buffalo game. But he's run the ball well. He's got a great skill set, good vision, good size, good quickness, good speed. He's a hard guy to tackle. So, you know, but I think he's been solid. He's been a solid player for us all year long. And all of our backs, you know, Brandon played a lot in this game, in the first game. Shane's given us a lot of good plays. Steven's given us a lot of good plays. LeGarrette's given us a lot of good plays. So, you know, feel like we have good depth at that position. All those guys have contributed. Whichever guys in the game, we have a lot of confidence in.
Bill, we know how much Peyton has done at the line over his career. As this group and this coaching staff, as they play together even more, how much more do you see of them doing that, being comfortable and doing that? It seemed like they did a ton of it last weekend.
Well, I don't know. You have to ask them. I don't really know. I don't get the sense that like they change every play, if that's what you're referring to. I think if they have a play called and they get a bad look, that they get to something better. That's what I think they do. So how many times does that come up? I don't know. When it comes up, then they do something about it. I don't see them run a lot of bad plays into plays that, you know, just have no chance. But I don't think they go up to the line and call a different play, you know, four or five times every play. I mean, I just don't see that, but you have to ask them.
Bill, a little different question here. I know in the red zone we talk, I know the passing game changes. Obviously, you have a back boundary to work against, but when you're in the red zone, does the running game change at all in how you guys can call plays and what plays you're more likely to call?
Well, I think it changes a lot from the standpoint that the defensive backs really become linebackers, especially as you get, obviously, you know, it's different than when it's on the 5 and it's on the 20. But, you know, when the ball's down there inside the 10 or certainly inside the 5-yard line, those safeties are linebackers. So you're not really blocking linebackers anymore. You're blocking spots, and somebody's got to get them or you got to run over them. That's all, you know, it's as simple as that. So I think your running game down there involves a lot more in terms of your receivers blocking run force or formationing to get the run force out of the way, or having free guys. You know, you don't mind having a free safety as the unblocked guy on a running play, and you get through the line of scrimmage, and, you know, he tackles you, and you gain 10, 12, 15 yards, whatever it is. Down there on the goal line, it's a different story. Those guys can make the play at or behind the line of scrimmage, especially if the play, you know, isn't a quick-hitting direct play. So you got to account for them. And defensively, that gives you a lot more opportunity to stunt, pinch guys inside because you have extra force players, so forth. They're a lot closer to the line of scrimmage. So I think it changes the running game quite a bit. I really do.
So when you see a team that's
as disciplined at the line of scrimmage as San Diego is, commit 5 neutral zone penalties. What do you tell your guys about the line between being aggressive and not getting
free? Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, I think, you know, you got to give a lot of credit to Denver on that, Manning. They did a great job with the snap count. You know, they do a good job mixing it up anyway, but they, you know, they certainly did a good job of doing some of the things that they had done maybe all year long or certainly for a number of weeks and putting a variation to them, and it was very effective. So, and you're right, San Diego's a good football team. They played them twice already this year. They have a very good understanding of what they're doing, and they got them. So, you know, we've got to be really disciplined, really alert. That's always been a big part of Peyton's game, is controlling the defensive front, however he does it, with the fake cadence, double cadence, hard counts, so forth. So we got to do a great job, be disciplined there. But nobody does it better than them, and that'll be a big challenge for us to, A, not show what we're doing, and B, you know, be aggressive but not be offsides.
No, just curious your thoughts on playing your first real playoff game since 2007.
I mean, we play 8 games on the road every year, so.
Well, I mean, you guys were 4-4 this year on the road.
I think if we play well, you know, we'll have a good chance to win. If we don't play well, then I don't think we'll have a good chance to win. But I think like that every Sunday, home or away.
Gary, Jim, Howard,
Bill, can you just talk about what you and Tom have accomplished together, one of the longest running coach quarterback combinations in NFL history, and what you've done to your career?
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate the question, Gary, but really right now we're just focused on this game and, you know, whatever we have or haven't done, maybe some other time we can talk about that, but we're on the Broncos right now. That's all that matters is this game, not what did or didn't happen, I don't know, however many years ago.
If I just followed up, I guess asking you, that it's been nearly 10 years since you guys have won a Super Bowl. How does that affect you? Does that make you even hungrier or more committed?
Every time we go out on the field, we expect to win and we prepare to win. So it doesn't matter whether it's a regular season game, postseason game, whatever game it is. We take the same approach to every game. We expect to win, we prepare to win.
Yeah, Bill, could you talk a little bit about LeGarrette off the field in the locker room and meeting rooms? I know that Tampa had some issues, I guess, with the party meetings. Was that ever a concern, and how has he been?
You know, I think LeGarrette's, yeah, I mean, he's been great. He's been a good teammate. I think he has a good good relationship with, you know, all the players, coaches on the team, defensive guys, defensive coaches, defensive players, all that. You know, look, he's a competitive guy. He wants to do well. He works hard at his game. He tries to improve. He has improved. He's done the things we've asked him to do. And, you know, when a player does that, I don't think he can do anything but earn the respect of all the people around him. And I think that's what he's done. You know, he hasn't – I mean, look, you get what you earn, and he's earned everything he's gotten. He's earned nothing's been given to him. He's earned everything he's gotten. So, and I think that's totally respected by everybody in the organization.
Two or three final questions here.
Bill, the interior of your line was so effective offensively against Indianapolis. Can you talk a little bit about those guys – and a little bit about what Denver offers on the other side of the ball with their defensive line.
Well, I mean, Denver's, you know, really strong, you know, on the defensive line. I mean, obviously Knighton and Williams, I mean, you know, two big physical guys, and they're hard to block in there. You know, I think our guys have done a good job. That group's been able to, you know, have continuity together, you know, Logan, Dan, Wendy. You know, they work well together. It's important, and that includes Nate and Marcus too, really, because, you know, on the offensive line, you have 5 guys to block 5 guys. I mean, that's what it comes down to. And if you include the tight end, you have 6 for 6. So, you know, after the snap, those guys move, they stunt, the linebackers flow, so forth. So, you know, our 5 have to get their 5. We have to all see it the same way. We have to be in unison in our blocking techniques, our footworks, and our recognition of the defense after the snap, once the play unfolds, and those guys do a great job of that. They study together. They spend a lot of extra time in the film room communicating and watching film and making sure that, you know, they see the games and the pass rush, the flow of the linebackers, stunts in the running game, you know, all those things. And, you know, if one guy sees something, that he can alert somebody on the other side of the line you know, a twist or a stun or, you know, something that they're doing that might affect everybody. So, you know, their communication, the execution, and just everybody being able to see the game through one set of eyes is, you know, it's so key at that position with that group, and those guys do a really good job of it. They have all year.
Bill, whatever is the case with Tom Brady today, do you have any reason to doubt his availability for Sunday?
We'll give you the injury report later on this afternoon.
Bill, though Denver did not have Julius Thomas in the first game, nonetheless, Tammy had a productive night for them.
He did.
Understanding the players aren't interchangeable and have different skill sets, did they utilize Tammy similarly to what they do with Thomas on a regular basis, similar routes and so forth?
Yeah, I would say that their offense is pretty... I mean, it's very broad. So, but if you watch enough games, if you watch 4, 5, 6 games, and you see their offense, and they, you know, you just start to see some things repeat. They'll pick out maybe certain things they want to use in this game or that game. But over, you know, over a broader look, you know, they have their system, and they have a, you know, some variations. But yeah, I would say overall, you know, they don't, you know, like put in 20 new plays each week. That's not really their thing. But they do have some, you know, they have some little modifications. They have a couple game plan things to attack each individual team. But I would say overall that, you know, Tammy and Thomas perform similar roles. And you're right, Tammy was effective. He had definitely had some production against us, and he's been very productive for him in a kicking game as well. But just offensively, you know, he's – and look, we saw him, you know, when he was in Indianapolis. So, you know, we know he's a good player. Thomas is obviously an explosive player, and so we're going to have to be ready for both of them. But do they basically do the same things in their offense? Yeah, I mean, yeah, I would say, you know, I mean, they split Tammy out against us. They split Thomas out, you know, seam routes and all that. So, yeah, I'd say pretty similar.
Last question in the back here.
Coach Belichick, the public imagination is fired up by what they see as another matchup by two elite quarterbacks, two very storied quarterbacks. After so many meetings, how do you prepare psychologically and otherwise for this? And what do you see in this context?
Well, I mean, we prepare for the Denver Broncos' entire football team. And obviously Manning's a great quarterback. There's no question about that. But the Broncos are a good football team, and they're good on defense. They're good in the kicking game. They have a good running game. They have a lot of good receivers, a lot of good offensive linemen. So, you know, we've got to prepare for the entire team. And Peyton certainly is – you know, a key guy in it, and, you know, he, the offense runs through him, but we got to do a good job on everybody. And, you know, he's as good as we're going to face, as good as we have faced. So, you know, it'll be a big challenge for us. I think our defensive football team realizes that, and, you know, we'll be out there Sunday to do our very best at defending not only him, but the other 10 guys that are out there with him. And they're all pretty good, too. So, you know, looking forward to the big challenge. We're looking forward to it.
What do you think about the fact that they're always compared, though, Tom and Peyton? Do you think that's...
That's your job. All right. Thank you.
Note to end on. That really is a good note to end on. That's the coach, Coach Bill Belichick, speaking with the media earlier today here at Gillette Stadium, getting into it, getting into some of the X's and O's about the breakout, but, you know, really kind of breaking things down when you're talking about the Patriots and the Broncos this Sunday. Mile High, the AFC Championship game. My name is Chris Price, sitting in here for John Rook on Patriots Playbook. Give us a call at 855-PATS-500, 855-PATS-500. Also, shoot us an email, webradio@patriots.com. Want to get to one or two of these emails before I am out of here. I'm going at the top of the hour. This one is from Anthony Wood, subject English Pats fans. Hey, guys, love the show. I'm a Pats fan from England. You'd be surprised how many of us are out here. Just tuned in, so I don't know if you covered this. But could our extra reliance on the running game be more of a permanent aspect of the New England offense, or will we phase it out a little bit next season with some free agents, draft picks, and wide receivers? I think really when you're talking about the Patriots offense, the Patriots love to be multiple. The Patriots love the ability to do different things from week to week. We've seen that over the course of the year. They were really looking for an offensive identity at the start of the season, really the first 4 or 5 games. Then Gronkowski came back, and they were really more of a pass-first team with Gronkowski and Edelman and kind of Vereen moving more to the core. Really, though, over the last 4 or 5 games, really the last 4 regular season games, the fifth game, the postseason game, they've really been more of a run-first team with LeGarrette Blount really starting to assert himself as a serious member of this offense. So I think they're going to be up and down over the course of a full season. I think they like being flexible. I think they like being able to do multiple things, and I think that's going to be their calling card really going forward in a lot of different ways. I'm going to wrap things up here. My name is Chris Price. It's been a pleasure sitting in for John Rook here on Patriots Playbook. Want to thank all of the emailers, the phone callers, the chance
What's
to
the
do
the score
this.
Prediction, Price?
Oh, that's right. I thought I was going to weasel out of here without giving a score. You know, you got to wait for NFL Sunday on WEEI and WEEI.com. No, I'll say I think the Patriots are going to find a way in this one. I think they are going to be able to throw the ball a little bit more than they did the first time around. Really, not so much the first time around, but really over the last 4 weeks. I think that's going to be that's going to prove the difference. I also think a really good group of special teamers is going to be really what separates the Patriots from the Broncos in this one. I'm going to say New England 34, Denver 31, and we're all going to go down to New York in the next couple weeks for the Super Bowl. So it should be a lot of fun. It should be interesting. It should be a really great game. I will say that. It should be a great game this weekend. I think these are two teams who really deserve to be where they are at this stage of the season. They're the two best teams in the AFC, and I think it's only fitting that the two best teams in the AFC are the ones left standing at the end fighting for a shot to go to the Super Bowl. Once again, my name is Chris Price. I had a lot of fun filling in here on Patriots Playbook for John Rook. Again, want to thank all the emailers. I want to thank all the phone callers. I want to thank Kevin Collins behind the glass. You can hear me Sunday from 10 to 2, I think, this week on NFL Sunday on WEEI. I'll be out in Denver. We'll be on with Dale Arnold and Matt Chatham, so it's going to be a lot of fun. Make sure you tune in. So once again, I want to thank everyone for this opportunity, and I will talk to you very, very soon.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
Pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.